As Bob already mentioned, we appreciate the presence of our visitors and those who have been out of town that are now back in town, and we have a good crowd this morning to come together to worship God. Paul writes in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, that if someone is overtaken in a trespass, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. Who are the spiritually minded members in a local congregation? If there was someone here at Warfield that was overtaken in a trespass, who would be the spiritual ones that would go help them to get out of that? Who are the spiritual ones? This morning we want to talk about what it means to be the spiritual person. He that is spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. A lot of times in our lives we hear the idea of being spiritually minded. Sometimes in a Bible class or a sermon we'll talk about the need to be spiritually minded. We need to be more spiritually minded. What does it mean to be a spiritual individual? Who is this spiritual person that Paul is talking about in Galatians 6, 1 and 2 that is going to go to the other one and help them to get out of their sin? I believe that here at Warfield, if someone were to be overtaken in a trespass, I believe that there would be spiritual ones here that would go help that person get out of their sin. We have spiritually minded brethren who would do that. But who is that person? Am I that person? What does it mean to be spiritually minded? We hear that a lot. And sometimes we talk about the importance of a particular person being spiritually minded. For example, we want our daughter to date a spiritually minded young man. Or sometimes we'll talk about how that a young man has found a spiritually minded young girl to date. We talk about that. What does that mean? What does it mean to be spiritually minded? We want to know if a particular person is spiritually minded. We want to be around spiritually minded people. But what does that take? Who is that? Well, there's a biblical view that we're going to see this morning. And then, of course, there's a contemporary view. If you were to take a poll in Clarksville, what is a spiritually minded person? You would get all kinds of answers. There's all kinds of contemporary views and ideas, and we may even have some ideas about that. But we're, of course, interested this morning in what God's Word says. He that is spiritual, restore such a one. Who is that? Who would that be? Is that me? Is that you? We want to be that person, but to be spiritually minded, we have to be that which is according to God's Word. So our lesson this morning is being spiritually minded and being more spiritually minded, but looking at what that actually means. When you turn in the Word of God to the idea of spiritual, you'll find it used in a number of different senses. For example, if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about the rock that followed the Israelites through the wilderness. He talks about a spiritual rock, which was Christ. This means, spiritually speaking, we're not talking about a literal rock. And so, a few times in Scripture, and in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, which spiritually is called Sodom. We're not talking about literal Sodom and Gomorrah, but a city that acts like Sodom. And so, spiritually speaking. Sometimes it's used, of course, of spiritual gifts. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that were given to the New Testament church to confirm the Word. And so, spiritual gifts, tongue speaking, healing, etc. Sometimes it's used of a spiritual body. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when we go to heaven, we're going to be given a spiritual body. It's a bodily form, but it's spiritual in nature to inhabit a heavenly realm. It's not the physical body that you can poke around on now. It is a body. There is a corporality to it. It is not just like a vapor or a mist. It's a body, but it is a spiritual body, Paul says, to inhabit that heavenly realm. It's not the same as our earthly body. Paul says there's an earthly body and then there's a spiritual body. So we're going to have a different body when we go to heaven. Paul talks in Romans 7 and verse 14 that the law is spiritual. He means that the law, and he's talking about the old law there, his life under the old law, I believe that's the context there. His life under the old law, and the law is spiritual. I am carnal, he says, but the law is spiritual. The law speaks to my spirit. It directs my spirit and makes me come into a right relationship with God. So the law is spiritual. Sometimes in the New Testament, it's used of spiritual beings. You turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul says that our warfare is against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Spiritual. What is that? Spirit beings. This is angels and demons. Of course, we're very familiar, for example, in the gospel accounts about how that Jesus cast out unclean spirits. So, spirit beings. Angels, demons, etc. of that world. Sometimes the word spirit is used in the Bible, of course, of divinity, deity. God is spirit. John chapter 4. And the spirit of Christ, Luke 23. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so, three divine beings in the Godhead. And then sometimes, and this is what we're going to focus on this morning, it is our own spirit. We have a body. We have a soul, we have a spirit. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I believe he's talking about our physical, our outward man and our inward man, and the soul and the spirit. The soul referencing our life, we're living, and then our spirit, our mind, our conscience, our heart, the immaterial side of us. We have a body and a spirit, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning, our spirit. Paul says, he that is spiritual, who is that person? We want to be spiritually minded. Are we spiritually minded? When you look at the idea of being spiritual, you'll find in the world in general and sometimes in the religious world that there's a number of false notions. Sometimes people have an idea of a particular religious person or a particular church, and they'll say, well, that's a spiritual church or it's not. Or that's a spiritual person or it's not. And a lot of times it is notions that we have that aren't really from the Word of God. For example, it might be that a person that has more emotion is more spiritual and a person that has less emotion is less spiritual. And yet the Bible doesn't talk about that. We need to have emotion in our life. In the New Testament, it talks about joy and love and comfort and encouragement and gentleness and a host of things. Self-control. These are all emotions. We need to be emotional, if you will. We need to have the emotions that are talked about in the Word of God. But what this is talking about is that if I experience something that has more emotion, then it's more spiritual. For example, if I attend a congregation or a church where they're clapping their hands, for example. Or they're waving their hands, or they're standing up, or they're clapping, or they're shouting amen or hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong with saying amen. But if there's more of that going on, they must be more spiritual than the one that I attend where that doesn't happen. And yet there's nothing in the Word of God about that. Being more emotional does not make someone more spiritual in the biblical sense. There are some who are changing the worship service, including some churches of Christ, in this idea that if we can be more innovative in our worship, if we can interact with different kinds of technology and the band and this type of thing, we can be a more spiritual church. That's not what we find in the Word of God. Our worship needs to be scriptural, and our worship needs to be from the heart. We don't ever need to go through any kind of act of worship, be it singing or the Lord's Supper or anything, with just with some our mind in neutral. Our heart and mind need to be in that. But some are changing worship and doing something that is not according to the pattern in order to think that we might have a more spiritual service. Small, informal groups. Back in the late 1970s and the 1980s, there was a Church of Christ in Gainesville, Florida. It met at the Crossroads, and so it became known as the Crossroads Church of Christ in Gainesville, Florida. It was a local Church of Christ that actually serviced or was a service or an outlet for the young people that went to the University of Florida. It became a very large Church of Christ. As you can imagine, a lot of kids on campus that had been at Churches of Christ all over the world coming to the University of Florida, and now we need a place to worship. And so this Crossroads Church of Christ got gigantic. Well, in the late 1970s and 1980s, they began to say, well, what we need is, in order to heighten our spirituality, we need to get out of this church building and meet in small, informal house churches or cell churches. Because you can sort of just sit around and talk to each other and mix and mingle and have a more of a social setting, and we can raise the level of our spirituality that way. Well, one thing led to another, and what became known as the Crossroads Movement became a very unscriptural thing, where you had prayer partners and you had disciple mentors that you had to answer to, and you had to divulge your life and your sins to them. And there, it became things that were added to the pattern of the New Testament church. There's nothing wrong with being small and informal. I have met with brethren in different countries where you're small and informal. But that alone does not make someone more spiritual. There's a house church up in Bowling Green. There's a house church down in Birmingham, Alabama. And so there are these places where if we can just get smaller and more informal, then we can be more spiritual. And often that leads to unscriptural practices. We can be just as spiritual with 500 as we can with 5. A positive image only. This is the idea that spirituality is when you just get a good feel about every part of your Christianity and every part of the worship service. And I just feel like I'm more spiritual when the sermon and the singing and the class is upbeat and positive. Well, we need to preach all of those messages in the Word of God that are positive. But there's a time like John the Baptist just to say, it is not lawful for you to have her. You know, you got to say that from time to time. And he lost his head over that. Literally. But these are the types of notions that we have. Or appear pious. This is the church I go to. They have these long robes. And they go through this service and they have these robes on, and there's some candles and some incense, and the people up there, man, they must be really spiritual. Jesus talks about those in Matthew chapter 23 that appeared on the outside to be pious, but inwardly they had sin in their lives. Some outward clothing or appearance is not a measure of spirituality. Some have, well, if they live out by themselves, we think about the Buddhist monk, you know, on top of way up on the mountain in the little monastery up there. And turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. These things actually do not help us, Paul says. They do not help a person to become more spiritual. It appears on the outside to do so, but it doesn't. This monastic mono, one, I just want to live by myself. So a monastery or monastic, I just want to be out here by myself. And this ascetic lifestyle where I keep things from going into my body and that type of thing, Paul says it actually does not do what we think it's going to do. Look at Colossians 2:23. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and severity to the flesh, but are not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh. So the very thing we think we're doing to make us a better person, they do not help that. And you can go back up to verse 23. Don't touch this. Don't taste this. Doctrines of men and so forth. Verse 18, the same thing is mentioned there. There are some churches today that seek or attempt to continue to practice the New Testament miraculous gifts. Our Pentecostal friends, our charismatic friends do this. And so because they speak in tongues and handle snakes and attempt to or say they do. It's not actual tongue speaking. They do these types of things. Well, they're very spiritually minded when they're actually not doing those actual things that are found in the New Testament. Maybe charitable acts. Someone is a spiritually minded person when they're always out doing for others. And we need to be doing for others. But these things alone are not the measure of spirituality. Someone who is leading a good moral lifestyle, that alone is not a measure of spirituality. Church attendance. We need to be here. We do not need to forsake the assembling of the saints. We need to put the kingdom first, and we need to be here when the doors are open. But that alone is not a measure of spirituality. There are those who can come to every service and not be spiritually minded. Law keeping. I keep God's word. Here is someone in the church that keeps God's word, and we need to obey the commandments, and we need to keep God's word. But we can keep God's word from a standpoint of accurately following God's word and not be spiritually minded. I can accurately take the Lord's Supper and I can sing without an instrument and these types of things, but that wouldn't necessarily make me spiritual. The more I know about the Bible, there are those who know a lot about God's word. The scribes and Pharisees knew a lot about God's word, but they were not spiritually minded. Church law. This goes back to the garments, and certain religions and denominations have a service where you wear certain clothes, and there's all kinds of church law and creed books and church decisions. And so that must be a very spiritual group of people. In the past 25, 30 years, the idea of health and wealth, and the healthier you are and the wealthier you are, the more spiritual you are. And that's not the case. So if this is not where spirituality is at, what does the Word of God tell me? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If I want to be a spiritually minded person, if I want to date a spiritually minded person, if I want to marry a spiritually minded person, if as a Christian I want to be spiritually minded, how do I know from God's Word? If I don't want these false notions, how do I know from God's Word? Number one, the mark of spirituality is that I let the Holy Spirit lead me. His words lead me. I'm not going to follow the words of mankind. Each day that I get up, it is the Holy Spirit's words are going to come into my heart and life and lead me and help me make the decisions that I need to make in my life. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." There are people out there that don't want to listen to God's Word. I don't want to hear that. That's the natural man here. I don't want to hear that. "For they are foolishness unto him, that God created the earth in 6 days, and that Jesus was actually raised from the grave, and that he was born of a virgin." All that's foolishness. I don't have time for that foolishness. Jonah was in the mouth of the whale and all of that, you see. That's just foolish. So there are people who will not accept God's word, and because of that, he cannot know them because they are spiritually judged. He will not open his life to what the Holy Spirit says, and so he cannot know those things. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We need to be the spiritual one that opens up our lives to the words of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to chapter 14 and verse 37 as Paul comes down to this end of the discussion about how that the assembly was to be conducted. "If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandments of the Lord." You understand that what I am writing is God's word, and you accept that. Turn to Romans chapter 8. When we get up, it's not what I think and I feel and the way I was raised and all of that. It's what does the Holy Spirit tell me? And when I get into a particular situation, I'm not going to walk by the flesh, my gratifications, my desires. It's what the Holy Spirit tells me to do and how to act. I'm going to listen to that. That's what makes me spiritually minded. Romans chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, Christians, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind, that's what their attitude and their heart is on. That's what their thinking is on. They mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What did John write in Revelation 2 and 3? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We've got to listen. We've got to listen. And you look at Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and some of those things were kind of hard to swallow. Because John was condemning and rebuking, Jesus through John was condemning and rebuking. And to sit there and hear that, you might want to say, well, I don't want to hear that. I'm here at Sardis. I don't want to hear that I have a name that I'm living, but I'm actually dead. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that I'm tolerating Jezebel. I'm over here at Laodicea. I think we're doing okay. I don't want to hear that I'm lukewarm. So John ends every time by saying, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We've got to keep our ears open. And sometimes it's hard to hear what's being said, but we've got to listen to it. Spiritually minded people will appreciate that. And the spiritually minded ones in those seven churches of Asia would appreciate being told what they need to do to be right with God. We've got to keep our ears open. A second mark of spiritually mindedness is that we are growing toward letting the Spirit guide us more. We're not going to remain immature. So let's go back to that passage that we began with in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul tells them that there is a natural man, the person who doesn't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. There is the spiritual one who does want to listen to the Holy Spirit. And he says, you are already Christians and you need to grow. You're immature. Chapter 3 and verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. There were some of them who did not want to hear the words of the Holy Spirit, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ, I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you were not yet able to bear it. No, not even now are you able, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you, I don't believe all of them were like this, but there were those among you, jealousy and strife, and are you not yet carnal, which means fleshly, and do you not yet walk after the manner of men? Look at that. After the manner of men. It's what men say and what I think and what I feel. And that's where jealousy and strife is at. And so we need to grow from being carnal and fleshly and after the manner of men and the way men think and the standards of men to what does the Holy Spirit say on this particular topic? We need to grow. And the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11 down through 6 and verse 1, that by reason of time you ought to be teachers. In time, not just teachers, but in time we need to grow and mature. And turn with me to chapter 5 of Hebrews in verse 13. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Little Ronan over here is a babe, and he's going to be on milk for a while. But we don't expect him to stay that way for his whole life. We're supposed to move past that and move beyond that and become more spiritually minded. And so, and not of solid food, for everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness. God allows us to be in that state for a while, but then he expects us to move on. For he is a babe, but solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. By the passing of time and the reason of use, we move away from the basics to maturity. And that, I believe, applies to this idea of moving from carnality also to spirituality. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, let us press on to perfection, or some versions have maturity, which is a good word here. We need to grow up. And we can be in the church. We can be baptized many years ago, and I believe that there are brethren that can say, well, I was baptized 30 years ago or 40 years ago, and be carnal. In the Springfield congregation, we had a problem in the late 90s and the early 2000s with a brother in the church who didn't want us to have elders. And he was divisive and causing problems. But he was baptized 50 years ago. He didn't grow up. And so just being baptized and just being in a building and going through Sunday and morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, over and over again, doesn't make us more spiritual. We have to decide to grow. It has to be a conscious decision to grow and mature. And each situation we face in life, we're going to move away from that, the manner of men, and more in what does the Holy Spirit tell me to do? And I'm going to act that way. That's a second mark. A third mark of a spiritually minded individual is someone who has concern for the spiritual needs of brethren. Let's come back to our scripture reading in Galatians chapter 6. We are spiritually minded when we are attuned to the needs of our brethren. We're not selfish. We're not just thinking about ourselves. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual. Who is that? That's what we're learning this morning. It's not about turning the lights down and holding hands and small cell groups and this and that. That does not increase our spirituality. Being led by the Spirit and growing toward being led by the Spirit, that is what makes us spiritual. And when we are in tune to the needs of our brethren, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. The word spirit there used in the second way is an attitude, a mindset of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Then look at the very next verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I need to be mindful of what my brethren need. And when we're spiritually minded, we're in tune. I want us to all grow toward that here at Warfield. Let us be spiritually minded. And if someone were to be overtaken in a trespass, number one, we would know it because we're in tune with our brethren. And number two, we would go and try to help them come out of that. Yes, we have busy lives. But we're to be a family. We're to be the household of God. And during Sunday and Wednesday, let us be mindful of our brethren. And spiritually minded brethren, make the time, take the time to know about the other brother's life. We may not physically be able to go over there. If we can't, at least make a phone call or something. The spiritually minded ones in chapter 6 and verse 1 are going to be the ones who go help this person. Now, somebody says, well, the elders need to do that. Of course. And they're going to be on top of that. I have confidence that Bob and Clarence will be doing that very thing. But Paul didn't say in chapter 6 and verse 1, the elders restore such a one. He said, ye that are spiritual. That's all of us. That's all of us. I believe the elders will do their part. But we are to be spiritual, and we're going to go and restore such a one in the spirit or attitude of gentleness. And so one mark of spiritually minded folks is that we are mindful of the needs of our brethren, not just ourselves. Let's make sure that we are in tune to what is going on in the lives of others. Talk with our brethren. Listen to our brethren. Be mindful of what's going on in their life. Open ourselves up to them. And when they slip and they need some help, we are there to help them. Stop and think about it, brethren. If someone was overtaken in a trespass and you never really was open with them previously, are they going to listen when you come around and try to get them out of their sin? They're going to say, you've never talked with me before. Never talked with me at the building. Never talked with me any other place. Why should I listen now that you're trying to help me, you know, get out of my sin? So just from a practical standpoint, being open to the spiritual needs of our brethren is going to help us when it comes time to help them come out of that sin. Another mark of spiritual mindedness is someone who appreciates the spiritual blessings that God has given them. There are so many places where Paul talks about, I shared with you spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 9:11, talking about the forgiveness of sins and the spiritual things that we have in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, the spiritual, all spiritual blessings are in Christ in the heavenly places. And we appreciate that. A spiritually minded person is mindful every day that we have forgiveness of sins, we have prayer, we have God's Word, we have the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We appreciate those things. We're not going to forget those things. We're not going to throw them away. These are spiritual blessings that help our spirit go to heaven. And I'm mindful of that. And I appreciate that. Turn with me to Romans 15 and verse 27. Paul talks about spiritual things. Yea, it hath been their good pleasure and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of spiritual things, the gospel went to the Gentiles, and they can now have forgiveness of sins. They owe it to also minister in carnal things. Talking about the physical contribution for the needy saints in Jerusalem. Spiritual things. Turn with me to 2 Peter. We're coming up on that study. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Having talked about what we call the Christian graces or spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind. Don would appreciate this. This is the word myopia. The next phrase, seeing only what is near, myopia. Nearsightedness, we would say. Having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. If we're not careful, we can get to the point where we do not remember and appreciate the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And that's why I believe some people, some Christians, fall away from the faith. They're no longer spiritually minded in this sense. They do not appreciate their cleansing from their old sins, and they are spiritually nearsighted, and they fall away. A mark of a spiritually minded person is someone who seeks to understand and apply God's spiritual wisdom. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're not going to follow the wisdom of the world on marriage and raising children and things that are in the church and how we conduct ourselves in our personal affairs and how we conduct ourselves at work. We're not going to listen to human wisdom. We're going to seek to understand and apply and study my Bible. Not just having a Bible at home that never gets opened up or carrying a Bible around in our hand. It needs to be in our heart. And so for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray and make requests for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then to apply it in our lives, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Spiritually minded. What does that mean? If you look at today's definition of spiritual mindedness, it's often what's on the outside. Some outside, contrived, physical kind of thing. Turn the lights down. Well, the only thing you get from that is you've turned the lights down. You don't get anything else from that. Or if we could sit around in a circle and hold hands, all you're going to get is a circle with some people holding hands. You're not going to get more spiritual. The things that God tells us about in His Word are always on the inside. Always on the inside approaching our spirit. Never on something on the outside of a physical nature. You don't find that. Am I truly seeking to understand and apply God's spiritual wisdom? I think it's a good reminder for us, especially in our sermons, in our Bible classes, that we don't just want to go through the motions. Bob was teaching the class this morning. You had teachers in your classes. And we just sort of go through the motions. Or were we seeking to understand that? And then today we're actually going to go out and apply that. We've got to be careful that we're not just going through the motions of a Bible class. I want to be spiritually minded, and I want to apply that spiritual wisdom in my heart. And we're going to apply those things when it comes to raising children. And we're going to apply those things when it comes to our home life. We're not going to listen to the wisdom of the world. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. I'm a spiritually minded person when I seek to associate regularly with other spiritually minded Christians and not the world. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're told there a couple of things about who we are as Christians. First of all, Peter says, You are as living stones are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. We'll get to the rest of the verse in just a minute. To be a spiritual house. The spiritually minded person seeks to regularly associate with other spiritually minded Christians because we are a spiritual house. They are going to be the first ones that I go to associate with. I might have friends in the world in the sense of work relationships and school relationships where I'm friendly to someone, but they are not the people that guide me and that influence me and that tell me how to live. I'm with other Christians. I am a spiritual house. And I'm going to seek that first. It's when I associate with the other, James chapter 4 and verse 4, friendship with the world, that I'm taken away from God, and James says, I'm at enmity with God. I'm spiritually minded when I seek to be with other brethren of the same mindset. And then last of all, look at chapter 2 and verse 5, the rest of the verse, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I'm busy doing the spiritual works in God's service. I'm worshiping God. I'm doing what we call the work of the church. I'm not preoccupied with worldly things or activities. There are spiritual sacrifices that I'm going to offer up to God each day. That's going to be my focus. And whether it's the worship service here, there are extra times that we could worship. I've heard brethren lament about, well, I used to go to gospel meetings or I used to go to a singing. We can still do that today, but we just have to cut back on our schedule. What's happened is we've allowed other things to go into our schedule. You can still do it. And I want to be around other brethren because I'm a spiritual house and I want to offer up those spiritual activities. I want to do those services of the Lord. And the other is secondary. These are the marks of spirituality. And that's what I want to encourage us on this morning. Paul says, ye that are spiritual. Now we know who that is. It's expected of all of us. We are to grow away from that babe mentality toward being mature and spiritually minded in the church. It starts on the inside. If the elders were to decide this afternoon that we're going to come back and we're going to turn the lights down and sit in a circle, that's not going to help us to become more spiritual. We've got to start on the inside. There's nothing on the outside. Jesus said that neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but those who worship God, who is a spirit, will worship in spirit and in truth. It's not something external and geographical, Jesus is saying. Neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. There's nothing external and geographical about it. It's going to be that when we worship God, we do that in spirit and in truth. It's on the inside. What man wants to do is he wants to take it from the inside and say spirituality is what's on the outside. And God always keeps it on the inside. The heart, as it is guided by the words of the Holy Spirit. Spirituality does not come automatically or by accident. We don't take a pill and we're just all of a sudden more spiritually minded. It comes when we are occupied and when we actively develop that through these things. Reading God's Word. Reading, 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 reading. We cannot stress that enough. When the spiritual words of the Holy Spirit come into our heart and we read them and we obey them, we become more spiritual. When we sing spiritual songs. Have you ever noticed in Ephesians 5:19 where Paul talks about psalms, hymns, and what? Spiritual songs. The singing part of our service is very important because spiritual songs help us to be spiritual. What were those hymns called back in the 1700s and the 1800s? What do we call them? Spirituals? Why did we call them that? Because they are words that touch our spirit to draw us closer to God. Why don't we have country music? You ever thought about that? Why don't we have country music, rock music, pop music? Why did Paul say spiritual songs? Those songs do not touch the spirit to draw us closer to God. Those have messages of alcohol and sexual immorality and divorce and honky-tonk and whatever. Paul says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Why say that? The words touch our spirit and draw us closer to God. When I was singing Lead Me to Calvary, man alive, wow, I was brought back, heard that song all my life. But those words drew me back. So other songs can't do that. Songs can't do that. Country, rock, pop, all of that. These are spiritual songs. And so let's take our song service very seriously and enjoy that and be built up by that. Spiritual prayers. Paul talks about that our spirit, and I believe he's talking about the Holy Spirit helps our spirit. And if I'm wrong in that, correct me. But we don't know, sometimes we groan in ourselves, we don't know exactly what to say or how to say it or how to bring that to God, and we get help with that. But our spirit is pouring out our heart to God. Let's pray more and we'll be more spiritually minded. Let's sing songs more and we'll be spiritually minded. Let's read God's Word more and we'll be more spiritually minded. And then let's go out and bear that fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we keep with us in the pew, but we go out and we bear that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those things that are mentioned there. We bear that in our life. That's the spiritually minded person. That's the person that we want to be. That's the person that if perchance someone here at Warfield Boulevard were to slip, that spiritually minded person is going to rush in there and help them be overtaken and help them to come back to the Lord. Let us be that spiritually minded person. There may be here someone this morning that needs to come and work on that. You need to come and obey the gospel. You need to come repent and be baptized. Or as a child of God, you've not been spiritually minded. You've been carnally minded. And you want to come back and let the brethren know if it's of a public nature. But let's all go out and be the spiritually minded person and have those marks, not the false notions that the world has, but have those marks that are laid down in God's Word where God tells us the kind of spiritual person that we need to be. Let's have that in our life this week. If you are in subject to the invitation, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?